Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you to the December 10th Code Enforcement Board meeting. I know this is probably not your favorite place to be during the holidays, but we'll all muddle through this. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year in advance, Happy Holidays. And with that, we'll have a roll call, Madam Secretary.
Mrs. Himes?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Okay, and we have Mr. Harrington, who previously let us know he wasn't going to be here today, and our new member, Mr. Skinner, advised he was not going to be able to be here today as well. And Ms. Kundig?
And I do...
Ms. Kundig, you're here.
Yes, I am here. All right, would someone like to make a motion to excuse Neil Harrington and Paul Skinner?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Additions or corrections? Okay. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Minutes are approved. Anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Ms. Chair. We have a couple of the cases that are in compliance that are not reflected on the agenda. Item number two, CEB 071533 for 527 North Atlantic Avenue is in compliance as of December 3rd, 2015.
That's number two.
I'm sorry.
Is that number two?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Item two. I'll go ahead and announce the ones that are reflected on the agenda as well. Case number six, CEB 111566 for 700 Fentress in compliance as of December 3rd. Number 12. CEB 121570 for 245 Tarragona Way with the unsecured and dirty pool compliance as of December 4th, 2015. And number 13 as well for CEB 121571, also 245 Tarragona Way with the maintenance code issues in compliance as of 12/4
okay.
also. I believe
right.
that is all.
All right. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Okay. Does he know? Does Tony know? I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Okay, swearing in code officers.
Yes. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may testify following the same procedures. All right, we have one attorney present. Is that correct? And what case number is this for?
Bruce Nelson as trustee.
This would be number 8.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Case number 8, CEB 11-15-64, Bruce Nelson Trustee, care of Ronald Cutler at 526 Mason Avenue.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cutler.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Ronald Cutler as attorney for the owners of the property.
Okay.
Is your client going to be testifying, sir?
Barnes will be testifying.
Can you state your name, please?
Yes, ma'am. Jesse Barnes.
Jesse Barnes?
Yes.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Just, if you could please make sure to speak into the microphone when you testify.
All right. We will hear from Code first.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the
board. Good morning.
Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach, representing the Code Board. The Code Division.
You're welcome to.
There was a day when I represented the Code Board. This case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector in the case is John Stinson. And the inspector reports that there's been no changes to the status of the property, that this property was, this violation was a complaint-driven violation, and it's a reoccurring violation that has caused continuous complaints. Primarily, this the violation of use of the property as a residence, or which was the non-conforming use. The inspector's requesting that the board impose a fine of $300 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay.
And I tender Mr. Stinson if you have any questions, factual questions regarding the case.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Stinson, Code Inspector. Employed with the city. My qualifications are on file.
Okay. So there have been no changes whatsoever?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
As have you had contact?
I have had contact. I've performed 4 site inspections along with police officers, code supervisors, and there has been no change.
Okay. All right. Mr. Cotler, what would you like to tell us?
Well, number one, I don't know where Mr. Stinson is getting his information from, but if you look at number 8 on the docket and what it says has not been done, that's totally incorrect. Electrical service is there. Water is there. We met with the owner, Mr. Barnes, met with Mr. Stinson regarding what had to be corrected, and other than 2 or 3 items, they've all been corrected. So I'm getting a little bit concerned that this could be a Hobbs Act possibility here.
Could be a what?
Hobbs Act.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the Hobbs Act. Could you explain that to me?
As a former FBI agent, it deals with federal law and violations. I don't wish to get into it in any greater detail. I could let Mr. Barnes testify as to what has been done and what we've done to date.
Okay.
I've got a couple estimates here as far as getting a couple contracting companies. As far as the fencing goes, there's a couple columns for the awning that's supposed to be fixed. Basically, the reason a lot of the serious issues didn't get done was because it was right around Thanksgiving. A lot of people had a lot going on. People were going out of town. But we have moved forward as far as getting people to do the work. I've got them scheduled. I've got their estimates here. It's just a couple of these companies, they just can't jump on it the next day. They're a couple weeks out. So we do have that basically scheduled to get done. It just, unfortunately, wasn't before we met here again.
Can you tell them exactly what is left to do?
Yeah,
and what has been done?
We basically have just a fence to run, 2 columns on an awning overhang to fix, and there's a couple quarter-size holes on a set of stairs that are blocked off. There's a no trespassing sign there.
So you have a trespass warrant sign up there, or is
posted.
Just from the police department, or is it just something you put up?
The signs were something we put up. I've mentioned last time I was here. I have a friend that works for Daytona PD. He's done a couple routine checks through the upstairs. We're not renting the upstairs out at all, so there's no reason for anybody to be up there. Yeah, it's blocked off. So,
boarded up.
But sometimes you get people that just enter the property, which is why we're also getting the fence installed.
Now, there was an issue before, I remember, about your business tax receipt. Has that been
Yeah, as far as I know.
The man applied for the tax receipt. Okay. He paid for it. We have a receipt from from the city that he applied for it. It's paid for. I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
Water on it?
The water is on.
Water's on. Electric's on.
We had an electrical contractor go out there. He spent money, permitted. Electric is on. The water is on. So I don't understand how Mr. Stenson can say that these things have not been done and nothing's been done when absolutely been done. We were here last time and dealt with the issue of the tenant. We said that it's not rented, that it's boarded up, and all I hear is that we've done nothing. And again, I'm getting the feeling that this is a Hobbs Act possibility.
Okay, I have a question for you. You have the electrical, as you said, the plumbing.
It's on. The electrical and plumbing is on.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we see that receipt or... I mean,
I don't have it here, but I can certainly provide it for you. I mean, the permit, did not the inspector come to verify the electrical?
There was a city inspection of the electrical that was all done, and it was approved. So the electric's definitely on. They're paying a bill right now. I know they're paying a water bill as well. Like I said, we don't have that today, but we can provide that.
Wait, now, you don't have water.
No,
we do have water.
And you do have electric?
Yes.
Well, the city, we could get that from downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing I'd just like to say, I realize that you said some of these things that haven't been done couldn't be done because of Thanksgiving vacation, but you were notified in June, so
right.
You got to think about that.
I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying there was things along the way that kind of binded us up. And like any business, everybody's got, you know, a couple weeks ahead. They're trying to stay ahead to make money for themselves too, you know. So it's, I can't expect anybody to drop what they're doing just because we need it right away, you know. So.
All right. So the outside storage is all taken care of. What are these pictures we're looking at?
Let me take a look here.
It looks like an old car that needs some attention.
Right. Well, it's zoned for automotive, so, I mean, as far as just cars being parked out, and they're behind the gate.
Is the business operable?
It should be. They have a license. The only thing I think they're missing as far as is getting a sign, and they're working on that right now.
What is that? All right, that's a dilapidated signage. So they're working on getting a sign. They don't have a sign as of yet.
Not at the moment.
But they have all of the stuff outside still?
It's not there.
That's part of the awning there, the pole that's going to be replaced.
No, I'm backing up to that, whatever, sofa and all this stuff. Yeah. Well,
as far as I know, the last time I was there, that stuff's not there.
Was the last time you were there?
Probably 5-6 days ago.
And, Mr. Stenson, when was this taken? I can't see the date.
This particular photograph is November 17th. These are on the 17th.
And the one with the sofa or whatever?
November 12th.
12th. November 12th. 12.
Okay. So since, have you been back there since November 12th?
I have. Mm-hmm. And all of these violations continue to exist. Sign violations, fence violations, conforming use, operating the business.
Mr. Jackson, is there any way one could go down and get this information from downstairs that has been approved and inspected for electrical and plumbing?
Ms. Hams, the inspector informed me that he has documents that would show that they don't have the business tax receipt as far as the issue of, as relates to operating these businesses. As far as the permits for the plumbing and electrical, you said?
He said it was approved.
Okay, as far as the inspector, and I think he'd probably be the better one to speak to what he's checked on, but as far as his check, those things have not been approved, and I've, again, asked Mr. Stenson to speak to that.
What's the basis for that determination?
There was an application for a business tax receipt.
Well, we're talking about the electrical and plumbing.
The electrical and plumbing. There is no record of any permits being applied for or issued to reinstate any of the plumbing, to reinstate any of the electrical work.
When did you last determine it?
My last inspection of the property was on November 12th.
Your last determination of there being no permits?
But no permits, that was done this morning.
Well, it was done this morning?
I checked for permits and licenses on the property. None have been issued for the property as of this morning. There has been application.
But none's been
issued.
When do we know when the applications were made?
Yes, ma'am. They applied for the business tax receipt on 9/16. The zoning department approved it on 9/25. However, it has yet to be issued. There's also one here for retail sales. The inspection was set for October 19th. It was canceled. And according to the notes from the staff down in permits and licensing, they left a message for the property owner on 9/22 to set up the inspection. And that's where we are right now. There's been no inspection for the business tax receipt because it was canceled. There's been no issuance of the business tax receipt. Nor have there been any issuances of any permits for any of the work that needs to be done or that has been done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I question?
Yeah, you can.
Mr. Stenson, you just said that there was a business tax receipt applied for on September 19th. And September 16th, and that permit was issued. And that you just said that?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, you said that the business permit for was applied for on September 16th, and it was issued on September 19th or sometime thereafter. That's what you just said.
No, sir.
What did you just say?
What I said was that it was applied for.
And then?
And it was approved.
And approved. But it hasn't been issued for some reason, but it was approved.
It was approved. But until the actual license is issued, you do not have possession of your license.
Why isn't it approved? Why isn't it issued?
That would be a question for the permits and license.
But it was approved.
According to the record, it was
approved. Again, we hired an electrical contractor.
When did you hire an electrical contractor? When is he starting?
The work is done.
The work is done. Do you have a bill that's showing the work is
done? Bring a bill.
Okay.
I don't have it with me, but I personally know it was done.
Okay, my question is, you hired a contractor without a permit from the city?
No.
The contractor, he did pull the permit. As far as we knew, he did pull the permit. I mean, it was, he had a city inspector come out and inspect the building after the electrical was done, so...
What is this inspector's name?
I'm having a hard time because I don't see proof of any of these things in front of me, whether it's the permits or the business tax receipt. And I need to look at the facts. We all need to look at the facts. And the fact is that it looks like maybe some of these things have been taken care of, but your own admittance is that not all of them have been taken care of.
Right. The other thing I wanted to just say was, too, that these two estimates that I have for the work to get done, one of them says clearly on it from the person that it does not require a permit to do that work that he's going to do. Because there is, he says right here, that there is no, it's just repair work. It's for the aluminum awnings just to replace the columns. It's not actually replacing them. He's going to brace it up, supposedly, and... I can only tell you what he's telling me, and this is a business out there, so that's one. Now, I do have the fence, and he is saying that it does require a permit, and it's on here.
Have the permit?
No, I do not have the permit. I have the estimate where he's saying that it's going to require a permit. All we have to do is basically just pay the money and get on their schedule.
Okay. Are there any other comments from the board?
Just one question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Spencer.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you instruct him that, being a business, this have to be contracted or permitted for everything?
Yes, ma'am. It's in the notice of violation.
Okay.
No. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $300 per day against the respondent effective today, December 10th, 2015, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion? We have a motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Right. Well, so I'm hoping that you'll get things done.
That's the plan. And again, we'll verify the fact that we had electrical.
Well, we just don't have the facts in front of us, and it makes our job very difficult without.
I understand, but if we can show
your facts in front of us, then
I understand. But if we can show that the permits were pulled and the inspector approved it, then that changes the situation here. It seems to me of a fine of $300 a day because we're being told that nothing was done, and we're saying that it was done, and we're being fined for things that allegedly were not done, but were done.
Which, the permit is not an issue yet,
yes,
correct?
Right. All right. So the board has made its ruling. Fine. Thank you.
We'll be back.
Okay. All right. Now, should we start with our lien review? Lien review number one, CEB 02-14-14, 533 North Key Street. Is the respondent present?
Okay. I just need where you cover from.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Susan Hancock. The address that we're pertaining to is 533 North Keech Street.
Mm-hmm. That's.
Uh-huh. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll hear from code enforcement first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for lien review. This property is a property where a fine was imposed for $100 per day effective April 10th, 2014. The property did not come into compliance until November 17th, 2014, which meant that the lien accrued to the maximum of $15,000. $15,000 plus $12 for recording fees. The position of staff is that I believe you may have a copy of a letter of hardship that was included with the application, and the inspector, having looked at the letter of hardship, does acknowledge that this person did have some challenges. However, she had opportunities, and as you can see even on the issue of obtaining the eviction and then ultimately getting the work done was just delayed, and it was delayed to a point where she didn't overcome it. The inspector's willing to agree to, I'll tell you, the initial position of the staff was a 20% reduction to 20% of the lien, which was $3,000. However, before you write that, in further consideration, the inspector has told me he would be willing to consider asking for a reduction to $1,500 as he is his reflection on some of the struggles that the respondent had indicated.
Okay. All right. Ms. Hancock, would you come forward and tell us your story?
It's quite a story. I'm thinking we should have reality TV at this point. I don't know if you've had a chance to read through the letter.
I did.
Okay. And did you get a chance to see the
pictures? I saw them. I'm seeing them now.
Wonderful tenant that I had. Well, no, those are, I think, pictures that Mr. Stenson took.
Right.
So, I'll try to do this quickly, but the tenant And that house had always been a Section 8 house for years and years and years. So I take great pride in my properties. They are immaculate when my tenants move in. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of Section 8, but you can't even have a pinhole of light coming through a door. So this house was always Section 8. She had been with me 3 years and was behind in her rent. And didn't.
How much behind was she in her rent?
At that point in time, she was behind $700.
Is that a month?
No. Her portion of the rent was very small, and I was working with her each month to try to get caught up. And then I don't really know what happened to her and the family, but there were a lot of personality changes and things that I saw them transition into.
Okay, so we had a problem tenant.
Yes.
Okay,
the tenant,
I get that.
Evolved over time, and I think got into a lot of activities that altered their personality.
Okay.
To the point where I was threatened. I couldn't go on the property anymore. I went on the property one time with a police escort to take pictures before court. I also, at that point in time, went and got my concealed weapons permit because it was no longer safe to be anywhere around or near them. It was
okay.
So, long story short, she destroyed the property intentionally. And she had told the neighbors this, that she was going to destroy the property and call code enforcement so she could move and not have.
When did you get possession of the building?
I got possession of the property January 1st, no, 2nd, I think it was. She finally moved out of 2014. 2014. Because it was a long court process, then through Section 8.
Right, I understand. Did you call Section 8? Did they come and inspect?
Okay. Section 8 was involved in this the whole time.
Okay.
Section 8 was actually in court as well. So they knew this whole process,
okay,
and they felt terrible about it. But, you know, their hands are tied with a lot of these circumstances, too.
Mm.
Long story short, that lady just needed to go.
All right. So this has been since January 2014 that tenant has no longer been in.
Right.
Now, it is now December.
Right.
What was the holdup between January and December?
Well, here's where it gets even a little
actually,
more complicated.
It's December 2015.
Yes.
So it's been 2 years? Basically?
Yeah, 2 years from beginning till now. Yes.
You retained possession, or you were given possession of the house
in January
of 2014 or 2015?
2014.
It is now December 2015,
that
so that's
correct.
Basically 2 years.
Uh-huh.
When did this property come back into compliance?
Within 30 days of when I took ownership. It was brought into compliance. And I was in contact with Mr. Stenson during this whole time, letting him know what was going on and asking for extensions. And he told me that I needed to get a permit. And I'm like, what do I need a permit for? We're going to tile the bathroom. He said, well, call the city people and find out. So I had called numerous times and finally found out, even if I'm moving a toilet, I have to have a permit.
Okay.
To literally move a toilet to put tile down. So once we finally figured out, because even though it was in compliance, he said, I cannot come out and inspect it because you need a permit.
Right.
I'm like, okay, oh my goodness. So I went and hired a contractor who didn't tell me that his license wasn't up to date because he was going through a lot of financial difficulties. So he couldn't get his insurance, whatever they have to have, and couldn't get his license renewed in order to do whatever he had to do.
And when was that?
That was in April of 2014.
Okay.
Once I realized, talking with John and the different city people, that, yeah, we actually did have to have a permit, which to me didn't make sense, but they said rental properties are different.
So you hired a contractor who was not able to pull a permit. When did you find that out?
Well, I couldn't figure out what was going on through this whole thing. I don't live in the area, and I'm like, what is going on? This is insane. So I would call him and send him emails and say, okay, you've submitted everything. Why aren't you pulling this? He wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't talk to me. We'd go on and on and on and on. And then the gentleman that I use here to help me out, who was trying to get that contractor to do his stuff as well, you probably know the contractor because I think he's involved in other activities as well, but I didn't.
Immaterial.
Yeah. So anyway, this went on for a long time. Finally, the permit expired. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This can't be happening.
So
he resubmitted again. because he was always under the pretense that he was going to do this and get it finished because
okay.
it was what he wanted
okay.
to do.
So all right, but
there was, but
it was allowed to expire.
It expired. I'm like, this can't be happening. And I kept begging him and sending in emails. And so then he resubmitted again for a new permit. And I'm like, okay. He keeps leaving.
And this didn't send up any red flags that this guy wasn't doing what he needed to do for you.
For me, he wasn't. I mean, but he was doing things for this other guy, telling him that he was going to keep taking
okay.
care of my stuff. And it... I'm speechless about the whole thing.
When was the property brought into compliance?
Within 30 days. Well, I would say probably date-wise February 5th of 2014, at a minimum. And it was in compliance. But Mr. Stinson couldn't come out and do the inspection. He said
no, so it's not in compliance unless the inspection's done.
I won't come out and inspect. You have to have
so
the building department.
When did that happen? When?
This November. It just happened. The guy, it was a miracle.
Okay.
The guy out of the blue called me and said,
well, okay, so
me.
November of this year, the property was
in records. But the
yeah,
property,
well, that's
yeah,
what counts.
I
okay,
know.
Otherwise you wouldn't have been to be able to apply for
but
a lien.
In the meantime, I called the city to see what can I do, because I was under the impression that if you had a contractor and he was tied to your property to do the work, that you can't throw them out, that you can't get rid of them. That's what I thought. I've never done this stuff before. I have no idea. So that was my understanding. So I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. I've got to call the city and find out. So I called, and they said, no, you can replace him. I said, really? She said, yes. I said, okay, then I'm going to look for a new contractor. And the next week, this guy decided to finally get his stuff together so that he could actually get the permit issued. And within 2 days, everything was done. I'm like, unbelievable. How could this take so long in this process?
Okay. Are there any comments from the board, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, the property was, as always...
How long has the new tenant been here?
I've gone through a couple of tenants since then. This is a rough area, and it's difficult.
But you are getting rent on?
When they pay, which isn't always that often. But this is what the house looked like before it was rented, because it was...
I saw those pictures, yeah.
But I couldn't... My hands were tied with everyone going on. I'm like, well, what do I do now?
Okay. All right.
It's just...
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, if I could just clarify a couple of things.
Okay, please.
This notice of violation was just issued in January of 2014.
Yes.
The order of noncompliance was issued in March, in February of 2014,
right.
requiring of compliance by March. So I think it sounds as though the respondent doesn't really have a clear understanding of what her requirements are related to code board stuff versus permitting. So when she says things are finished, they may have been finished or finaled in a permit and never really satisfied code issues, and ultimately code was not notified and satisfied until November of 2015. So it was sometime. But other than that, the position of staff remains the same.
I mean, this whole thing is very unfortunate. It never should have happened. I mean, we have a person who intentionally destroyed a house, and Mr. Stinson knew that. We talked about it. He's like, wow, she really tore up your house. I'm like, what? So then...
Okay.
It's so unfortunate. The whole
okay.
Thing
we need to... The board needs to decide what it's going to do. Do I have any comments? The code enforcement has suggested a reduction to $1,500. I'm not sure I agree with that, so are there any comments? Would somebody like to make a motion?
The only comment I want to make is because it's a lien review, we need all four of you to agree.
Yeah, so all four of us need to agree, so we need to come to terms with this.
I thought it was a reduction of
$1,500.
No. Well, it's reduction to $1,500.
You're right, reduction to $1,500.
It's recommended by the code enforcement.
Correct. So we all need to agree.
I make a motion that the fine is reduced to $1,500
payable within the 30 days?
Yes, sir.
I second.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Jones and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. No.
I say that.
What did you say?
I say that.
Did aye. Aye. So two. Motion fails.
Two yes, two no?
Yes.
I have a question, Mr. Jackson. How much does this cost the city as far as dealing with this?
I would have to look to Mr. Garcia and Mr. Stinson and see if they have an estimate or any idea. Ms. Garcia. Because you want to go there.
Don't pass the
gavel. Amy, I wasn't sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Mr. Smart, to address your question, between time invested and mailings and so forth, is just a rough guess, would be approximately between $600 to $700. That's not bringing forth, you know, that's just our time. That's not bringing it to the board and so forth and so on. So that's where we're at with this.
Okay. All right, I'd like to make a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $5,000, subject to being paid within 30 days of their fine. We'll revert to the original amount. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Now you have to, she has to call.
Yeah, call again.
Go ahead, call for vote.
All vote?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All in favor?
A roll call vote?
Yeah. Call, you're a roll call vote.
Okay, Mrs. Hines? I'm
yes.
Here. Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Okay.
Can I please speak?
No, not right now. Thank you. Would you make a motion?
I'll make a motion at $2,500.
All right. Mr. Smart has made a motion to reduce the lien to $2,500 effective today. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor. Roll call vote, please.
Mrs. Himes? Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Yes. All right, gang. Motion fails.
Are you going to
make a
motion?
You're 2,500.
Are you going to make a motion?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones can make a motion.
Mr. Jones already made a motion. I've made a motion. You've
made a
motion. I'm going to make another motion. Now I'm going to pass the gavel. I'd like to make a motion to reduce the fine to $2,000.
Second.
Is there a second? All right. Roll call vote. Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
Ms. Kendrick?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Himes?
Yes. Okay. All right. Motion carries. Thank you.
Is there any way? I mean, I honestly, from my heart and from my commitment to the city and what I do for the community and the people here, that this never should have happened from the beginning. It was a person taking advantage of a situation. And now I have to pay these costs that are above and beyond even the cost that it cost the city to do this.
That's our ruling. I'm sorry. Newt. All right, we're going to have to move on.
30 days.
Madam Chair, you may want to advise as well the respondent that if it's not paid within 30 days, we revert back to the $15,000.
So. Ms. Hancock, if the fine is not paid within 30 days, the fine will revert back to the original amount. That's the process, which is $15,000. All right, let's move on. We'll move on to case number one, CEB06-15-23, Halifax Riverfront Company at 118 South Beach Street. Is the respondent present? Please come forward. State your name and be sworn in.
Brian Fredley, BPF Design. 207 Fairview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. We're the architecture firm representing the owner.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, we'll hear from code first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The respondent had been had various things they had to do to get themselves in position to get the property repaired. This has been going on for a little while with the board. The redevelopment staff for the city has informed code that there was a delay for they were seeking a facade grant and other things that they needed to do. The redevelopment staff has asked code if we would request that there be that this case be amended to a compliance date in February. They're at a point now where they are doing major work that will take some time. We would ask for a progress report in January. Progress report in January and a request for compliance in February is
okay.
The request.
Mr. Fredley? Tell us what's been done. What's going on?
We had to go through the Historic Preservation Board.
And has that been done?
That has.
Cool.
We got approval. We have their certificate of appropriateness for the historic from the Historic Board. A design was had to be put together to be in keeping with the Beach Street historic area. It'll be quite a bit different. I don't know if we've got. I mean, that's. Can we get to a picture that shows maybe the rendering of where we're heading with this thing? If you have it,
That's what I had.
Is that all you had? Okay. But once we got approval, and I can pass that around.
Cool.
And of course, I should back up a little bit. We do have the owner, Gail Flanagan, here representing. Dallas Peacock, architect for our office, is here also. The project kind of snowballed once we got into redevelopment because it wasn't just a matter of putting the glass cases back. It was a matter of doing a facade renovation. So to do a facade renovation in this district, you have to get historic preservation approval. We've gotten that. Once we had that, we had to get a structural engineer on board to start developing the permit drawings. Some added things that we're working on is two grants with the city, because in this district we're eligible for a facade grant and a historic restoration grant. So these things take time. We've applied for the building permit. So we have that in to the building department. We expect we'll probably get some comments, and building permit might be issued sometime in January because of the holidays. If we get the building permit before the next code board meeting would be great. I can't guarantee that would be the case. That's probably why redevelopment is saying, you know, February. Now, construction is still going to take some time, but I think to get clear with your board, I think we have to have the building permit in hand. Is that correct? I think by February, for sure, we would have that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Any comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until February 3rd, 2016, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved and further orders a monthly progress report beginning next month.
So moved.
All right. We have a motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. Thank
you.
Same to you. Yes. All right. We won't have a quorum, so I'm going to stop the meeting. It's in recess for a minute. Okay. We are back on the record again. Case number two is in compliance. Case number three, CEB 10-15-49, Great Alliances Holding. Is the respondent present? Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is David Newell, the fire inspector. And Mr. Newell has advised me that this is a case where we need to amend to the next cutoff. And he can advise you with further factual information if that's needed. I will turn to Mr. Newell.
All right, Mr. Newell, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Yes.
Good morning, right?
Yes, sir, I have.
Yeah.
This property is if you remember correctly, this is an apartment complex, about 15 units. This was a new owner from last meeting, essentially, that basically had no active business tax receipt, and the fire alarm system was not up to code. They have taken care of the fire alarm system. That's all taken care of. The only thing is the business tax receipt. The business tax receipt, after speaking to the representative, which is the property manager, they had to wait to get that recording to be able to apply before the permit. So they got the recording, they've applied for the permit, and the inspection is today. They could not move it up. So the inspection is of today, and as Mr. Jackson said, I'm requesting to amend to the next cutoff so they can actually...
Both cases?
Actually, yes, it's going to be both cases, yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right, shall we do them separately or?
Separately, two motions.
Yeah, two motions.
The new owners now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. But that's part of the motion.
I mean, that was
all
the
new owners are in.
All right.
The purchase, the change happened, I think, about 2 months ago, maybe three at most, but we didn't have confirmation that it actually occurred, so that's why we continued with the way we did it last month, is because we didn't have actual confirmation that it actually had sold at that time.
The deed was recorded October 23rd, 2015.
Okay, so we will request that we add them.
Okay. All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and add the new owners to the orders, who is...
Martin Investments, Inc., M-A-R-T-E-N.
Martin Investment, Inc., okay. And allow the respondent to come into compliance February 3rd, 2016, or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved.
I believe that'd be the January meeting.
Oh, ma'am. January meeting, sorry.
January 4th.
January 4th, okay, sorry. January 6th. Okay, I was skipping a month. All right, we have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number four, we can, Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until January 6th to come into compliance and addition and to add the new owners to the order, Martin Investment Company.
So moved.
If there's no compliance achieved, be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay. Case number 5, that's Mr. Newell, too. 11-15-65, Chamisa Holdings and Hotel Del Mar. Respondent present?
Yes.
That address is 209 South Ridgewood Avenue. Please come forward and be sworn in and state your name and address for the record.
Dwayne McDuffie, 1925 East Gateway Drive, New Smyrna Beach.
And you are?
General contractor.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, we'll hear from staff first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is David Newell, a fire inspector. This has been before you for a few months now. As they were moving closer towards working on the compliance, they discovered more issues that now is going to require additional work, and it will take more time to ultimately comply. The inspectors informed me that we would be asking to for an amended compliance date, and I will tend to Mr. Newell so he can give you the facts
okay.
and tell you how much time he's requesting.
All right. Mr. Newell?
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, this is a three-story rooming and lodging house. It had numerous violations that were driven in from a complaint. After that, we noticed, as you'll see here, numerous complaints dealing with the property, sprinkler alarm, and other stuff that you see here. The licensed contractor here actually pulled a permit along with the fire alarm. He's had subcontractors along with the fire alarm contractor. These permits are applied for, approved, and issued. So the work is being done. I was out there yesterday, the day before, and they are actively doing a lot of work on that property. as Mr. Jackson said, as they were renovating this, they have found numerous additional issues on the property relating to structural, some of it being like on the second and third floor, they've got beams and stuff like that have found that they are no longer, and I'll attend to him exactly, but they are rotting away, as I'll put it. So anyway, we are looking, because of the extent of the work and him having to get an engineer at this time to be able to submit additional permits to the city because of the scope of the work that they have, we are asking to amend to the March cutoff based on the recommendations of the general contractor and how long it's going to take to complete this work.
Okay, do you think we need a progress report or it's just moving forward?
Yeah, we can have a progress report. That'd be fine.
On January?
Starting in January and have one in January and February?
Yes, ma'am.
Just January. Okay.
We'll do January and February.
Okay. What would you like to tell us? Sounds like you're working on it.
It's quite the project.
It looks like it.
Being as it was originally built in 1914, so we're finding out that most of the plumbing, electrical, has to be replaced in the entire building, as which we are doing so. But we are moving along. It's, like I said, quite the project. I've had to have the engineer kind of on standby whenever we tear something down like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to come out and figure out how we're going to put it back together. So, but we are moving along. And
okay.
I'm fine with his recommendation
okay.
on that.
Any questions, Mr. Newell?
I just want to make one other statement. Some of the things as it relates to colors and stuff, is he's going to be doing some painting and all that. I'd ask him to make sure he gets with the redevelopment board to make sure he's doesn't do any kind of, you know, items such as painting and all that without
mm-hmm.
their approval or authority or their approval.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
No.
Are there people living there now in some of the units? Or
Yes, some of them are. They do have an active sprinkler system, an active alarm system, so all their fire safety is currently up and running. They just have to come up to code as it relates to the fire alarm system, which you know is very outdated and not in compliance.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until March 2, 2016 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. And the board further orders a monthly progress report beginning next month for 2 months. All right. Motion from Mrs. Heim, second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, CEB 11-15-630, Javorak. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Is the respondent present? Okay, we'll hear from code. Mr. Jackson.
Yes. Madam Chair, I'm sorry, because I was talking, I just want to make sure I'm on the right case.
Yeah, case number 7, CEB 11-15-1023 Cadillac Drive.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The property is in noncompliance. The inspector advises me that his information is that the property has been sold in the interim. The board secretary has searched for that as in her capacity as the paralegal for staff. And she hasn't been able to verify, or at least it may not be recorded, but there seems to be some aspect of certainty to the inspector that it has been sold. So our intention today was to request a fine of $200 per day, but if indeed the property has been sold, just as an abundance of caution in that, we feel better to ask for at least the next cutoff, and they may get the grace of actually running and getting the things done, which would be the preference, of course, for all of us, that they get it remedied. So we would ask that it be amended to the next cutoff, and we'll verify this. Either way, whether it has been sold, the belief was it was sold in October. But in any sense, we do need it in compliance. It's not in compliance at this time.
So let me understand this. You want to continue this until next month?
Yes.
Okay. And
at this time, not make any changes as to respondents, because we don't have that verified as to respondents.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I only see one item in here that could be a safety issue, and it has to do with the smoke detectors. Are they operable now or not?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they are?
Yes.
Okay. Continue.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to continue case number CEB 11-15-63 until the next cutoff date, which is 1/6/16. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. That's continued. All right. Now, I know that there's an attorney, Mr. Morris, outside. We could skip to right now, since we're finished with all the old cases.
I'm sorry.
I
spoke
that
to Mr. Morris previously, and our preference is to go ahead and handle it at the
end. Okay, that's fine with me. All right, so no problem.
In anticipation, so you'll know, our desire is that we actually take maybe at least a 10-minute break, because we're still trying to resolve what we believe may be some settlement remedies regarding this.
Okay. All right, we will.
I mean, when we get to that point.
Yeah, that's all right. Sorry. Okay, let's start our new cases. Case number 9, CEB 12-15-67, Neva J. Wilson at 1068 North Street. Is the respondent present? Good. Come forward, please, and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Hi.
Victoria Earl, 2445 Mary Jewett Circle, Winter Haven, Florida.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you tell me what your relationship is to the owner?
She was my sister.
Okay. All right. We'll hear from Code first, and then I'll...
Okay, so I'll move on.
Ma'am, this isn't a major case, but just so clarification for the record, you indicated it was your sister, so you're indicating she's deceased, the current owner.
Okay.
Has there been any type of probate or any transfer of...
In the process of that.
Okay, all right. And sorry about your sister.
No.
Okay. This is here just for Madam Chair, members of the board, for... failure to have a business tax receipt. Of course, that's, I say it's small, but it is something that was required, and you never know what all needs to be done. But the inspector indicates that, as you see, that someone is addressing the issue, and we're asking for finding of noncompliance, and that'll be brought into compliance next cutoff.
Okay. What would you like to tell us? Anything?
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to tell you.
Well, that's why, I mean, you have to get a business tax receipt.
Yes, ma'am. I was not aware of that
okay.
at the time.
Okay.
I'm working with my sister's attorney.
Right.
Who has been trying to get the property deed changed over since
okay.
January. He has said now that I have been called upon your services to be here today that he's going to expedite that.
Okay,
so
good.
It should happen
okay.
rather quickly.
All right. I just want you to make sure you understand what needs to be done. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order to respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is January 6th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
Actually, Madam Chair, it would be just the one-time fine
of $200. All right, let's change that. Be returned to the board for a one-time fine of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye. Like sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Did you really understand that?
So I'm to make sure that the deed is transferred before. Well, just tell me what I need to do because I'm sorry, I'm not sure.
All right, if you will get with Mr. Stenson, he'll explain everything to you.
Okay. Now, will I get a letter or something saying I need to come back, or if it's incompliant, I don't need
it? He'll explain that to
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is that it?
Okay. All right, case number 10, CEB 12-15-68, Bruce Allen Johnson at 120 Springwood Drive. Respondent present. All right. Yes? Oh, please come forward, sir.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Bruce Johnson, 637 Rossley Road, New Smyrna Beach.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, we'll hear from Code.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. The inspector informs that the property was in noncompliance at the time that he was cited and has subsequently been brought into compliance, and he's requesting a finding of compliance and noncompliance. This all arose from an area complaint where he had went to various properties as a result of the complaints and to seek get the remedy.
So it was compliance, but
yeah.
And I tend to Mr. Garcia if there's any other facts questions
okay.
or if there's anything he'd desire to say.
Right, right.
Yes, no.
All right. Any
what's the date? I'm trying to get a date.
A date for
compliance.
10/19.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Johnson, would you like to tell us anything?
No. Once we
okay.
received the notice, we immediately removed them within a few days, and so I was surprised to see this, the meeting.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion. Do we have any questions from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance, and for any future violation to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence in case be dismissed.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Smart, a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Okay, motion carries. You're all done. Okay. Move up to case number 11, which is CEB-12-15-69, Jose and Anna Taborda at 126 Springwood Drive. Please come forward, sir. State your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jose Taborda. Living in 126 Springwood Drive.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this similar situation. In fact, this property is down a block from the prior property, and the property was in non-compliance at the time we were cited. It's now in compliance. The staff is requesting for finding of the effect of will find, finding of compliance,
yep.
Non-compliance.
Okay.
And the compliance state, again, this is Mr. Garcia is the inspector on this, and the compliance date is
November 10th, 2015.
November 10th,
2015. Okay, great. All right, would you like to say anything? Okay. Okay, we know. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find any questions from the board. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of $5,000 for per occurrence and the case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
No.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries. Okay, here we are. That's all the cases we have. Case number 12, CEB-12-15-70. Case number 12-15-71 are both in compliance. And that's the end of this section. And now we can move on to the request for waiver. Do we need a break?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
15 minutes maybe, but...
How much?
If you're good for 15, it's even better.
Okay.
If we can resolve it faster, I'll let you
know. All right, we're going to take a break and reconvene in 15 minutes.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, the meeting will reconvene, and we are going to consider requests for waiver. The applicant is Rolling Rebel LLC, doing business at Bad Boys Saloons at 601 Main Street. All right, proceeding. The I guess we'll. Does anyone need to be sworn in?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Can you state your name, please, for the record, sir?
Lou DeRosa.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Do we have an address for Mr. DeRosa? I just stated his name.
601 Main Street, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay, thank you. Just for the record. All right, we will hear from Mr. Jackson first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for request a waiver, and the general package information indicates that the Land Development Code provides a provision where you could waive for a temporary promotional activity, which is what was in our old code, the TPA, the standard TPA, although you have no power to waive for a bike week type or festival events. You could waive a 3-year prohibition, which is imposed against this respondent.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes.
So this is not about Bike Week or Biketoberfest, but just generally TPA?
That's what's filed today.
Okay.
Now, the this property is owned by Mr. Daldani, who was represented by Mr. Morris, but the tenant is Rolling Rebel LLC, and that's what Mr. DeRosa here is representing or present as on behalf of
the
tenant.
Mr. Morris is representing the owner of the property.
That's correct.
And you are the person that manages or rents the property?
Now, there's an overall issue that's just as you were questioning. The code provision is that if a property is found in noncompliance for if there's a finding of noncompliance, that then there's a prohibition for participation in the master plan events for 3 years, as well as this 3-year prohibition on for a TPA as well. And so,
so it's both.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that's the bigger issue, as you may perceive and understand, is that is an this overall issue of the master plan, which is actually only reviewable by the commission, not by any board. So the parties have been working together to try and remedy the whole issue, not just piecemeal it, but to remedy the whole issue. There are a number of issues outstanding that have to be taken care of. We've sat and we met, we've discussed those, and as a result of those things that we discussed, Mr. DeRosa has indicated a desire to ask to continue this request for waiver to the January meeting. And as we continue to try and work out alternative stipulated solutions as opposed to this proceeding. I will turn to Mr. DeRosa and leave him to make those requests to you as he's indicated that is that to be his desire. I'll let him make his expression of that desire.
All right. Thank you. Mr. DeRosa?
Yes, I'd like
good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to request a continuance to January 2016.
Okay.
The next 16 days would be January 14th.
January 14th.
Okay, January 14th.
Let's find out about quorum. Later.
Okay. January 14th. What date is that?
That's the Thursday.
The 14th?
The second Thursday in January.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Is this satisfactory to code enforcement, Mr. Jackson?
Yes. Okay. And as I said, based on our discussion, sitting down and settle, and as we're trying to work out a stipulation, we agree with Mr.
Okay.
Rose. That's probably
okay.
A good idea.
I'm just concerned. I asked the chairman just to make sure that. Everybody here tend to be here at the next meeting, as far as you know, and I really think it's
about that. Oh, yeah, we really need to have a quorum here if we're going to consider this.
We're really tight right now.
All right. As far as we know.
If I can just say this, I mean, I understand the encouragement for everyone to be here. I believe that we're on a fixed schedule of the second Tuesday of every month, and so second Thursday of every month, and at least from the staff's perspective, we're operating on a presumption that we'll flow as we always have and be available.
Ms. Harrington should be back, so that's just not
yes.
Right.
If everybody else is here, she should be fine.
All right. Maybe we'll get another appointment in the beginning of January, too.
Yeah, we need to get the city commission needs to understand we need some people.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, any questions from the board about anything? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to continue the case for the request for waiver until the January 14th, 2016 meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries. Okay.
So
see you in January.
Thank you very much.
Maybe things will be worked out. That would be nice.
So you're saying I can't go nowhere.
Oh, see? Yeah, that was the cutoff date we were looking at.
I don't know where Boucher is.
Okay.
Actually,
let's finish the meeting now.
Yeah.
All right.
Just 1 second. We're still.
Okay. Is there any miscellaneous business?
No.
Well, I know I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and same to you. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy holidays.
And yeah, for anyone who's not celebrating Christmas, whatever your holiday, happy holidays.
That was in the Florida Bar News about code enforcement, special magistrates, Bureau of Reading. Every time there's so little information that comes out dealing with the court.
Oh, I missed it.
I get something, she'll share it with you.
Good. Will you send it to us? Okay, great. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Do we have anything else?
All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year.